The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Sweet Spots. Battered office sector finds a lift with spec space. And the article begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, The Rise of Spec Suites. Battered real estate industry finds a lift with move-in ready office space. And this is written by Kaylee Thompson. Gordon Grubb, CEO of Grubb Ventures, said he had no idea just how successful the spec office suite program would be at Raleigh Ironworks, considering he felt like the company joined the rising trend late. Before the developer added the spec suites, the office space along Atlantic Avenue was hovering around 60% leased. 6 months after launching the spec suites, the office space is 100% leased, no vacancy. The momentum that people were seeing and the traffic that we could talk about was spurring people to then sign up for the vacant space, Grubb said. They could see what it would look like versus our other spec spaces that were built out so custom for the tenants, and so the spec suites are more of a design that would be more acceptable to general tenancy. For Grubb, building spec office suites for companies that want move-in ready space led to filling remaining vacancies in the building. Clearly, it paid off to deliver 22,000 square feet in five spec suites as companies like Indy Consulting jumped at the chance for a move-in ready office. This is a trend that other office building owners in the Triangle, such as Kane Realty and Accesso, are also seeing. Office landlords started spec suite programs because they witnessed a shift in the office market that revealed tenants didn't need as much office space as they did since the rise of remote work. The rise of remote work has meant companies don't need as much space as they used to, so users who used to need 25,000 square feet or more are now looking for 20,000 square feet or less. Add on the fact that several companies didn't want to deal with the hassle and costs associated with building out a shell space. Creating a whole or partial floor of spec suites where sizes range from 2,500 square feet to 8,000 square feet helped reach corners of the office market not available to them since before the pandemic. The spec suites phenomenon picked up rapid pace in 2025, and many in the commercial real estate world expect that it will keep trending up. Attractiveness of spec suites. When Molly Baker, CEO of Indy Consulting, was looking to move her Raleigh team out of a co-working suite to a permanent office, she was open to anything. She spent 2 years searching for the right size space with amenities in a good location and the right price. Whenever she found something, though, the cost of building out the space felt like the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, she said. Indy Consulting is a marketing consulting firm that has done work for Highwoods Properties, Bartico, Dove, Cheez-It, Pringles, and Optimal Bio. While Indy Consulting has been in a spec suite at Raleigh Ironworks since January, Baker initially decided against Ironworks because upfitting a shell space seemed intimidating and the spec suite program hadn't been launched yet. Baker's interest in spec suites was piqued when Grubb Ventures and Kane Realty both announced programs in their office buildings. She toured North Hills and Raleigh Ironworks, eventually signing a lease in July for a 3,700 square foot suite for 6 years. I felt like it made it easier to still get what we were looking for, but have some of the basics already in place. There are common amenities, which is something that we were used to coming from the co-working space and enjoy it, honestly. There's a bigger conference room set up if we need it. There's different spaces outside where people can sit if you want to get out of the core space, Baker said. It almost was like the most natural step for us, coming from a suite inside a co-working building where we could interact with other businesses and have common amenities, to then now we have more of our own space, but some shared elements as well, and the actual move-in process was so much more seamless. These types of tenants and their need to have a smooth moving process are convincing office building owners to add spec suites to their buildings, especially in new trophy assets that have been struggling to fill vacancies. Robin Roseberry Anders, executive vice president at Tri Properties, said the trend of spec suites came about as a result of how to get leasing activity to pick up post-COVID. Landlords watched and waited as companies delayed decisions by extending leases for a short time. Uncertainty in the office market created companies who were hesitant to move to a new space for a long-term lease, and that required time and money to upfit. Signing on for spec space can typically mean being able to opt in for shorter lease terms as landlords look for at least 7 to 10 years when it comes to regular office space. The landlord is going to get X amount because of where construction costs are, the actual build-out costs well in excess of that, said Ryan Gaylord, Executive Vice President of Corporate Services for Tri Properties. So for particularly smaller users where there's not a lot of economy to scale on 5,000 square feet or less, the dollar doesn't stretch very far. So you were having deals that were getting caught in sort of log jams and they wouldn't go anywhere. We had a few of those clients that deals just stalled and just went silent. Gaylord added that tenants often have a lack of vision when it comes to touring empty spaces that need finishing. When you get rid of the weird colors or the old carpet or things that need repair or whatever is weird, then a tenant can walk in and not be caught up in, wow, it doesn't look like that was maintained, or the problem, or what is it going to cost to fix that, Anders said. Instead, they're walking in and saying, oh, I think my employees would really like that. That can be my office, and this is a great break room. So they're seeing themselves in it. When you only have maybe 10 or 15 minutes for a showing, you have a very short window to make an impression with a prospective tenant. You definitely don't want them to focus on what's wrong with it. You want them to focus on what's right about it. So not only have spec suites helped building owners sign companies who need less space, but also it has helped lease up vacancy in the rest of the building as potential tenants see what could be possible in the unfinished space. Impact on vacancy. Kane Realty Corporation has experienced this phenomenon with its One North Hills office building overlooking Interstate 440. The 264,000 square foot building opened in mid-2024, added a full floor of spec suites in late 2024, and by January, all of the office space was leased. The 9 spec suites were all spoken for by July 2025, less than a year after delivering the suites. At the time, the office space in the building was only 41.5% leased. The same has occurred at Raleigh Ironworks for owners Grub Ventures in Jamestown. The spec suite program was announced in early 2025, with suites open and ready for new tenants in August the same year. When the program was announced, the overall office space was about 60% leased. In January, DraftKings signed on for the last remaining shell office space, and shortly after, Sunday Salon, a hair care brand, signed up for the last spec suite, bringing the office space at Raleigh Ironworks to 100%. That was another office property, reaching full occupancy less than a year after creating spec suites. We were very pleasantly surprised at just how quickly it leased and how it helped us lease up the other vacancy, Grubb said. While tenants don't have to pay for the cost of construction and labor, the landlords build that cost into the rental rate. But because the space is smaller and is in a highly amenitized building, it ends up either being comparable to what the company was in before, even if downsizing, or is worth it because of all the amenities available to the employees. The cost to completely build out spec space isn't significantly more than shell space for larger tenants. Gaylord said the owner takes on a heavy expense in the beginning but spreads it out across an entire floor and is able to get it turned around and having tenants moving in and paying rent in 4 months or less. Generally, it's about even cost to build spec. Maybe a little bit more for a spec suite because we generally want to make a very nice product that shows very well, but tenants in general right now want to have a really nice space that shows well and helps them to recruit and retain top talent. So costs everywhere are high. It depends on the condition of the space before we start fitting it up, said Alex Romero, managing director of investments at Accesso. While tenants for shell spaces take on the cost for uplifting, the process for moving in is much longer, taking up to as long as 8 months. That's 8 months the landlord is paying rent on the space rather than collecting rent. Florida-based Accesso is getting ready to deliver 18,000 square feet of spec space in the 555 Mangum office building in downtown Durham. There will be 5 suites that will be ready for tenants to move in June. The real estate firm acquired the 242,063 square foot building in October 2025. In second quarter 2025, the building was about 65% leased per Triangle Business Journal space data. Since Accesso acquired the building and announced the spec suite program, the building is 80% leased. 35% of the available space is the under-construction spec suites. Romero noted that this is a national trend the company is seeing across all its markets. Accesso owns more than 18 million square feet of commercial real estate across North Carolina, Florida, and Texas. As construction costs increased from 2019 till now and construction timelines have gotten slower in many of our markets, we've seen the push for and desire for ready-build spaces that tenants can plug and play and move into. That is a trend that we're seeing everywhere, Romero said. The ripple effect. While the rise of remote work shifted the office market in such a way that it demanded spec office suites, the rise of spec suites has started shifting the office market in new ways. One of those ways is being able to retain growing companies. Indy Consulting started with a team of five at Industrious in 2019. At its new office in Raleigh Ironworks, it has 17 employees and another 8 in a New York City office. Baker said the team is growing rapidly, which is part of the reason for the move, as she felt like people were sitting on top of each other. Baker said the suite at Ironworks can accommodate 30 people, a target she plans to reach in the next few years. She added that Grubb Ventures provided the company with options to renew and to expand into a larger space if the company grew faster than anticipated and needed even more room. If you can get the tenant in your building and then their employees are used to high-end quality, they don't want to move to something else that they have to pay for. So if you can get them in the building and then you can expand them in the building down the road, Anders said. Let's just say they go in and they do 5 years. Well, once they get in and they've got this great face and this image and this is now the company culture, everybody's moving up. Everybody wants to move up. So, A, they're going with a trophy. B, they're going to A. Another way spec office suites have transformed the market is the trickle of what types of buildings add spec office space. It started in trophy and Class A buildings that were new and needed to fill up vacancy. As those assets leased up and don't need to add spec space, the Class B market will respond by adding spec suites. Some owners of Class B have already done just that. Duramite, owned by Jonathan Dayan and Eyal Regev, bought two Class B buildings in Durham, with millions of dollars in planned upgrades. One of those upgrades was turning the entire third floor of the South Court office building into spec suites, ranging from 689 square feet to 2,363 square feet. When Duramite brought the South Court building in February 2025, it was 38% leased. The building is now 66% leased per LoopNet. Grubb said the market will continue to see this trickle as space fills up in each higher class, and owners of Class B and Class C office buildings will add spec space to assist in filling their vacancies. The need for developers or owners to do spec suites in Class A space is probably winding down because they're likely leasing their buildings up, and we don't see any new Class A construction in the market, Grubb said. It's probably going to be a trending up on the Class B, particularly well-located Class B space, because now the activity is starting to shift there. It's trending down in Class A and trending up in Class B. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. His pitch is for women's sports. Former MLS executive leads push into women's softball and beyond. A former Major League Soccer leader with an MBA from Harvard University sees potential in women's sports and has Durham as a target market. John Patrikoff, the former president of the MLS franchise in New York City, launched Athletes Unlimited in 2020. I said, my gosh, there's so much untapped opportunity here, he said. It made me think a lot about women's sports. This summer, a new professional women's softball team will play at the Duke University facility. The team will be the sixth in the fledgling Athletes Unlimited softball league. Patrikoff sees this as a chance to capture interest in women's sports that has been surging since Caitlin Clark's mesmerizing basketball career at the University of Iowa. The Women's National Basketball Association is on the rise and saw attendance rise 34% in 2025 to 3.15 million. The National Women's Soccer League has also seen rising interest. Patrikoff sees room for more women's professional sports. Athletes Unlimited will be an umbrella organization overseeing various leagues, including the Athletes Unlimited Softball League. Durham's Carolina Blaze is scheduled to begin June 9. Patrikoff said Durham, with the Durham Sports Commission, really checked all those boxes we were focusing on. The plan is a 25-game season. Players make an average of $50,000 per season, he said. The Triangle has a long list of failed sports efforts that include basketball teams, indoor football, and more. But this brings investment from Major League Baseball, an ESPN commitment, and a Sephora deal. The WNBA success has convinced Patrikoff that other leagues can do it too. That's what attracted me. I love growth opportunities, he said. I love to identify value opportunities where others don't see it. Target adding new options in the Triangle. Two new Target stores are opening in the Triangle as the market continues to expand. Target opens in Fuquay Arena on March 15 and in Selma on March 17. The Minneapolis retail giant is one of many big-name retailers looking to capitalize on the growth happening south of Raleigh as areas that were once quiet rural communities change rapidly due to an influx of new residents, particularly young families, seeking a cheaper cost of living. Property near UNC comes on the market. A prime property near the UNC Chapel Hill campus is on the market. An assemblage of four parcels on Macaulay Street near the Carolina Inn has been listed for $7 million. The property is being marketed as a missing middle infill development opportunity by Tom Grasty of Grasty Realty. The 1.24-acre site holds five single-family homes used as rental housing. Four of the homes are contributing structures to the Cameron Macaulay Historic District. Finding 1.25 acres in historic Chapel Hill is never going to happen again. It's just not, Grasty said. BASF looks to major expansion at its RTP campus. Here's some good news in the life sciences realm. BASF is planning to expand its operations in Research Triangle Park. BASF has submitted paperwork in Durham County to develop an approximately 157,000-square-foot research and development building at its campus on T.W. Alexander Drive. The Triangle is home to the $70 billion company's North American Agricultural Solutions business. The proposal covers 9.5 acres of a 124-acre site. The expansion would increase the amount of developed facilities on the campus from 491,701 square feet to 649,181 square feet, according to filings. BASF had more than 1,300 employees based in RTP as of last year, according to TBJ Research. And finally, new investment group lands student housing. A new real estate investment group in Raleigh has made its first acquisition with a $26.5 million purchase. Person Street Partners acquired an off-campus student housing portfolio totaling 50 single-family rental homes around the NC State University campus, according to Wake County deed records. Person Street Partners was formed in June 2025 by Griffin Pye, Jake Jadis, and Pujan Mehta, who worked together at Apollo Global Management. The firm focuses on rental housing, specifically the small balance university housing market and industrial space. Pye said the firm is looking beyond the Carolinas into Virginia and Georgia for more housing assets. For industrial acquisitions, it is looking at Small Bay Industrial in Raleigh, Charlotte, and Greensboro. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by Zach Ezone. RTP Biotech sees promise with new drug. After positive phase 3 results, United Therapeutics looks to FDA. A biotechnology company in Research Triangle Park is moving closer to bringing a potential multi-billion dollar therapy to the market. United Therapeutics says its oral treatment for pulmonary arterial hypertension, ralinepag, spelled R-A-L-I-N-E-P-A-G, met its primary and several secondary endpoints in a Phase 3 trial. Based on the results, the company plans to file for regulatory approval with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in the second half of 2026. Presently, the United relies on third-party contract manufacturers to produce ralinepag, but it is working to qualify its RTP facility as the primary commercial production site of the therapy, according to securities filings. The global study involved 687 patients with PAH, a life-threatening disease that affects blood vessels in the lungs. In the trial, ralinepag reduced the risk of a clinical worsening event by 55% compared with placebo, and increased the odds of clinical improvement by 47% at week 28. The study found ralinepag was well tolerated with no new safety signals. CEO Martine Rothblatt, during a call with investors March 2nd, called the results transformative, saying the data support ralinepag as a frontline option if approved by the FDA. United expects ralinepag's once-daily dosing to help it compete favorably with Uptravi, a twice-daily oral therapy from Johnson & Johnson. In 2025, Johnson & Johnson reported more than $1.9 billion in sales from Uptravi, including more than $1.5 billion in the U.S. The company sees ralinepag as a major future growth driver. United believes that by 2030, ralinepag could generate upwards of $2 billion. Michael Benkowitz, United President and Chief Operating Officer, said during a presentation at the TD Cowen's Annual Healthcare Conference on March 2nd, "We think this has an opportunity to be a blockbuster in our biggest product in pulmonary hypertension," Benkowitz said. United owns more than 279 acres in RTP and operates about 630,000 square feet of space. And our next article is written by Kate Tracy. $17 million mixed-use project set to transform Apex Hotspot. Specialty grocer Indy Fresh plus a two-story office building are planned. An Indian grocery store and a two-story office building are on the docket for a hot corridor in Apex. Pradeep Chakravarthy is building a 17,500-square-foot Indy Fresh supermarket at 1215 Pine Plaza Drive off Highway 64. In addition, he's looking to put a two-story, 15,000-square-foot building on the south side of the property. Chakravarthy purchased the 5.47-acre site last April for $1.87 million, according to property records. The seller was Crossroads Holdings, LLC, whose managers are Glenn Allen Boyd Jr. and Maurice Boyd. Glenn Boyd Jr. is the late founder of the Crossroads Auto Dealerships. Chakravarthy is naming his development Glenn Square as a way to pay homage to Boyd and his family. The site is surrounded by retailers, including Academy Sports and Outdoors and Costco Wholesale. "We are trying to target something to complement Costco. We cannot compete with them anyway," Chakravarthy said. The specialty grocer targets a demographic that is growing fast in western Wake County. The Asian population in Apex, Cary, and Morrisville more than doubled from 2010 to 2020 and is now well above 50,000. The Apex Indy Fresh will have a restaurant with indoor and outdoor seating, as well as a bakery, beer cave, and ice cream station. Chakravarthy plans to hire up to 50 employees for the store. Chakravarthy and his partners opened the first Indy Fresh grocery store, along with additional retail space, during the pandemic in Cumming, Georgia, north of Atlanta. The Georgia Indy Fresh restaurant serves butter chicken for $11.99, plain dosa for $7.99, and egg biryani for $12.99, among other menu items. Since customers travel from several different zip codes to go to the Apex Costco, Chakravarthy thinks being next door will bring more customers to Indy Fresh. "I'm not treating it as a neighborhood store. I'm treating it as a destination store," he said. In addition, Chakravarthy plans a build-to-suit structure that's already approved. Including the land purchase, Chakravarthy expects to spend approximately $17 million on Glen Square. And our next top news item is written by Lauren Onisorge. Duke doctor launches smart mattress for babies. Kansagra sees the problem from a parent's perspective, works to find a new solution. The Duke University clinician who literally wrote the book on sleep hopes his smart mattress startup can help babies and their weary parents get some shut-eye. By day, Dr. Sujay Kansagra is a professor and director of Duke University Medical Center's Pediatric Neurology Sleep Medicine Program. But by night, he's meshing both his clinical expertise and experience as a dad into Lullaby, a startup aimed at getting babies a full night of sleep. Kansagra's accidental entrepreneurship story started with an idea a decade ago. He was telling patients to gradually wean their babies off of sleep interventions in his clinic. "I would tell them to try to intervene 5% less this week," he said, "and next week to intervene 5% less than that. But when up against the screaming baby, all bets are off," he was learning. "It's a humbling dilemma," Kansagra experienced personally. By the time he became a dad, he had written a book on techniques to help children sleep, but the infant he was holding didn't care. "Your child has not read the books and doesn't care what your profession is," he said. "The first 4 months were absolute torture." As he and his wife started sleep training their child, it was challenging, to the point where if I wasn't a pediatric sleep doctor, I may have given up. There had to be a better way to automate the process. As the idea was circulating, he was working in the hospital, seeing firsthand worst-case scenarios involving sleep, from children injured due to unsafe sleeping conditions to the consequences of sleep-deprived parents driving on the highway. Finally, I was like, you know what? I've got to make this myself, Consagra said. So he teamed up with Duke University engineers and developed a rudimentary prototype of what would become Lullabee. After clinical testing at Duke, he teamed up with a carry manufacturer, Blur Product Development. Utilizing foam from Ashboro, a crib mattress was developed. The mattress has sensors that detect when the baby is awake. It creates vibrations that help put the baby back to sleep, changing the intensity and output over time. In the sleep science world, our main goal is to create confident, independent sleepers, Consagra said. We don't want lots of bells and whistles. They can't take that to college with them. As a child ages and their sleep patterns change, the mattress starts to wean them off of the support. It does exactly what he tries to do in the clinic, encourage parents to start weaning off of their own interventions. It just automates the process. So far, Lullabee has been entirely bootstrapped, pushed out directly through the firm's website. While there are promotional pricing options, the eventual price will likely be between $1,500 and $2,000. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to A Better World, a page on nonprofit news. Raleigh nonprofit expands campus. New women's facility for Healing Transitions has groundbreaking. Healing Transitions, a Raleigh organization that supports those struggling with addiction, is undergoing a major expansion of its women's campus. Healing Transitions broke ground on a new facility at its women's campus on March 6th. The $14 million facility is part of the launch of the Forward Together campaign, which is to provide financial support for the center. The goal is a next step for women exiting the program, as women leaving recovery still need support getting back into the mainstream. In many cases, they also face the intense shortage of affordable housing in Wake County. Healing Transitions is building a three-story, 30,000-square-foot facility with 16 apartment-style homes on its women's campus to address the issue. Recovery doesn't end when a woman completes treatment. In many ways, that's when the hardest work begins, said Executive Director Chris Budnick. This new facility ensures women are not forced to choose between unsafe housing and their sobriety. Healing Transitions opened its women's campus in 2006 and has served more than 7,600 women since then. The organization said the Forward Together campaign funding includes $12.4 million for construction and equipment, $1 million for the recovery courtyard, and $600,000 in soft costs and operating reserves. Construction is expected to be completed by early 2027. Healing Transitions opened in Raleigh in 2001 and was originally called the Healing Place. Safe Child names new executive director. A Raleigh organization that works to prevent child abuse and support survivors of abuse and their families has named a new executive director. Rebecca Paredes is now leading Safe Child after relocating from Maine to North Carolina. Paredes has worked in the nonprofit and community service sector for more than 26 years and previously served as executive director of New Hope Midcoast, a domestic violence resource center. Safe Child was established by the Junior League of Raleigh in 1992 and provides prevention and intervention services at no cost. Safe Child's annual gala is scheduled for April 17 at Raleigh Union Station. A group helping women holds fundraiser. A nonprofit that looks to support women will hold a fundraiser May 2nd at Prestonwood Country Club in Cary. The event for Violet Love is a Mother's Day brunch, which is inspired by the Kentucky Derby. The Derby is later that night in Louisville, Kentucky. The event begins at 11 a.m. Violet Love was sparked by a mother-daughter combination that wanted to help other women work through barriers to growth. The CEO is Fabine Gaddison, the daughter of Abidun Violet and the owner of an event planning business in Raleigh. And finally, Women's Giving Network celebrates 20 years in Wake County. A group of women committed to service is celebrating 20 years of giving and has big plans for the future. The Women's Giving Network of Wake County, a concept built around the idea of working together to support deserving organizations, is celebrating 20 years of service this month. WGN will host an event on March 25 at 5:30 p.m. at Town Bank at 3535 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh. Carolyn Fendelman, president of the group, will outline plans for the year ahead. The network includes roughly 100 women. Potential recipients are vetted throughout the year, and then voting on awards is held each fall. Founded in 2006, WGN has awarded more than $2 million in grants. The organization is a giving circle within the North Carolina Community Foundation. Giving circles pool donations for a larger impact. In 2025, the Women's Giving Network gave $40,000 apiece to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Wake County, to Carol's Kitchen, and to Wake Smiles to support a new community care clinic. Grant applications are open from June 26 to July 28 for this cycle. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal. First, we come to Lauren Onosorge's page. This is on technology and innovation. Developer nixes Apex Data Center. Maryland firm had targeted 189 acres near Sharon Harris plant. A Maryland developer has withdrawn plans for a large data center in southwest Wake County after facing local opposition. Natelli Investments have proposed a data center complex on 189 acres of farmland near the Sharon Harris nuclear plant. But recently, Michael Natelli, executive vice president of Natelli Investments, said he was withdrawing the annexation and rezoning applications. It really had to do with the fact that we just felt like we were no closer to getting to a decision from the town, Natelli said, adding that he left recent work sessions feeling like the town wasn't ready. There just isn't the appetite politically right now for the town to move forward and support this. It's the latest example of local resistance forcing developers to alter or halt data center plans. North Carolina has seen a wave of proposals amid the rapid rise of artificial intelligence, but many projects have stalled as local officials respond to concerns over high energy and water requirements. Some local governments, including Chatham County, have put moratoriums on data center projects. Natelli said his firm would reconsider the project if the town approves a comprehensive zoning text amendment allowing data centers as an approved use. A tenant hadn't been identified, but Natelli previously told TBJ that conversations were underway with the companies you expect. Tech giants like Amazon, Apple, Meta, Google, and OpenAI have been racing to develop data centers. The plans drew pushback from nearby residents worried about noise and environmental impacts. Natelli had insisted his project, called New Hill Digital Campus, would locate in a corridor already identified for industrial use. Ralliant moves into new North Hills HQ. Ralliant has grown from zero to 150 employees in Raleigh since announcing plans to create 180 high-paying jobs a year ago. This week, those employees moved into their new office at 4114 Center at North Hill Street, part of Kane Realty's main district expansion. CEO Tammy Newcomb calls the company, which spun out of Fortive Corporation last year, a 100-year-old startup. The $2 billion precision technology firm specializes in sensors and safety systems for industrial, defense, and aerospace markets and has 7,000 employees worldwide. When searching for headquarters locations, Ralliant had options including staying in Seattle. We had a blank canvas, Newcomb said. We could go anywhere. But Ralliant wanted to be where people wanted to be, she said. Karen Bick, Chief Human Resources Officer, is among those house hunting after helping compile the team. She and her team face a challenge staffing up in a competitive market. We're building our brand and reputation, and that comes interaction by interaction, Bick said. We're a company that has brands that are 50 to 150 years old, and we're a new publicly traded company, and there's something exciting about being at the beginning of the growth story. Staffing firm expands in Chapel Hill. A homegrown staffing company is staying in downtown Chapel Hill, a decision that could bring more than 40 high-paying jobs to Franklin Street. Eats to Seats, and that's spelled Eats, the number two, and then Seats, which has 38,000 workers across 13 states, is a concessions and vending firm that provides turnkey operational solutions for collegiate and professional sports venues. It was founded by Mary Lacey Motley in 2018 when she was a sophomore at UNC. The company initially served fans at Keenan Stadium, delivering concessions to people in their seats. The job will pay average wages of nearly $123,000. The town council voted to approve incentives for Eats to Seats in the form of an in-kind parking contribution of $87,000 to be paid in 5 annual payments, provided the firm meets its jobs commitments. The firm plans to move into space at 462 West Franklin Street, known as The Pitch. The company also considered Austin, Texas, Nashville, Tennessee, and Atlanta. And finally, First Bank completes CEO succession. First Bank's succession strategy is complete with Michael Myers' retirement in February. Meyer, formerly president and CEO, will continue serving on the board of parent First Bank Corp., based in Southern Pines. It is the fourth largest commercial bank headquartered in North Carolina with $12.7 billion in assets at the end of 2025. Adam Curry, current president and CEO, said the plan was for Meyer to stay on during the transition. Curry became president in November 2023 and CEO in February 2025. The bank is evaluating options for new offices while always considering acquisitions, Curry said. First Bank's last acquisition was Grand South in 2023. First Bank ended 2025 with loans of $8.7 billion and deposits of $10.7 billion. And now we turn to Ben Tobin's page covering Greater Triangle. In Johnston County, board postpones decision on site. Residents raise concerns about rezoning 28-acre site off Highway 42. A proposed industrial development in a booming corridor in one of North Carolina's fastest-growing counties faces uncertainty after the Johnston County Board of Commissioners delayed a vote on the project. Following more than 2 hours of discussion March 2nd, commissioners postponed a decision on a proposal by San Francisco-based Prologis to rezone about 28 acres off Highway 42 near Interstate 40. In documents submitted to the county, Prologis proposed two industrial buildings, one 173,680 square feet and the other 103,200 square feet off Cleveland and Pierce Roads. The commissioners decided to further explore which uses would be permitted for the site. During the meeting, residents expressed concerns about the site becoming a data center, given that Prologis has worked with data centers in its national portfolio. Jason Barron, an attorney from Morningstar Law Group, represented Prologis, said the site will not be used for a data center and that Prologis would accept a condition prohibiting data centers. Prologis is seeking to rezone the land from agricultural, residential, and industrial highway interchange to industrial 2 conditional zoning. Conditional rezonings allow local governments to approve zoning changes while attaching specific site conditions that become legally binding commitments. Residents who spoke against the proposal raised concerns about property values, unknown future tenants, quality of life, and traffic increases. Terry Penny, who has lived near the site for nearly 5 decades, said she fears for children's safety given the potential traffic increase. The board plans to resume conversation and vote on the rezoning at its next meeting. Developer purchased 206 acres in Harnett. Clayton Properties Group of Tennessee bought 206 acres off Highway 27 in western Harnett County for roughly $6.27 million last month, according to deed records. The price comes to more than $30,400 per acre for the vacant land. Clayton Properties Group is the parent company of Triangle home builder Mungo Homes and is part of Clayton Homes, a subsidiary of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. Representatives did not provide comment about plans for the land, which is zoned for single-family and multifamily units, as well as duplexes. Mungo Homes was the fifth largest home builder in the Triangle in 2024, based on dollar volume of contracts closed at $291 million. It completed 751 homes that year with an average price of $387,317. Sometimes Clayton Properties Group and its subsidiaries buy land before having an exact plan in place. Housing proposals and home buyers keep pouring into Harnett County, where the population is just over 146,000, a jump from 115,000 in 2010. Much of this growth stems from the county's proximity to Raleigh, while having cheaper land and homes offering buyers more space. In Lee County, Hilton Hotel proposed for Sanford. A 100-room True by Hilton Hotel is proposed for Sanford, where Highway 42 meets Highway 421 on the city's east side. Jeremy Thomas of Sanford-based J. Thomas Engineering Incorporated submitted an application to the Sanford-Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee to build the hotel on 5 acres off Champion Road. The property includes 2 out parcels along Highway 42 for future development. Thomas and Hilton representatives did not respond to requests for comment. The land is owned by Sanford-based Wasara Associates, LLC. No rezoning is required as the parcels C2 and L1 zoning districts both allow hotels, according to documents submitted to the Technical Review Committee. Sanford's population is just under 33,000, and Lee County's is around 70,000, based on U.S. Census estimates. Existing Sanford hotels include a Red Roof Inn, Holiday Inn Express, Hampton Inn, and Days Inn, clustered around U.S. 421 business near the proposed site. And finally, Chick-fil-A relocates to new Selma location. Atlanta-based Chick-fil-A will close its location at 1300 North Brightleaf Boulevard in Smithfield in Johnston County on March 17, with plans to relocate to a newly built restaurant a few miles away in Selma. The new location is at Eastfield Crossing, a 3-million-square-foot project off Interstate 95 that includes retail, housing, and manufacturing space. The Smithfield restaurant is the only Chick-fil-A in Johnston County. It opened in 1998. The Selma location is expected to open by the end of March and will be run by the same owner-operator, with employees transitioning as well. The new location will feature expanded parking and site improvements aimed at enhancing traffic flow. And now we turn to Kaylee Thompson's page covering real estate and development. Raleigh units hit by foreclosures. 5 units foreclosed without selling since 2024 construction completion. As the Triangle housing market cools on pricing, it looks like the days of million-dollar townhomes may be in the rearview mirror for now. A collection of 12 homes off East Hargett Street near Transfer Company Food Hall has faced a myriad of problems since being built in 2024. Those problems have included foreclosures, price cuts, and an inability to sell. The standalone homes were developed by Thayer Homes of Raleigh and owned under the entity Row 12 LLC. When sales opened in 2024 for the development, the listing price was around $1.2 million. Since then, only 2 of the homes have sold, one for $979,500 in August of last year, and the other for $1.21 million in July 2024 to Ruth Holdings LLC, an entity controlled by Thayer, according to North Carolina Secretary of State records. 5 of the homes have been foreclosed on without being sold. Anchor Loans of California was the lender for the project, providing average financing of $700,000 per unit, according to Wake County records. Terry Thayer with Thayer Homes said he was in the process of refinancing those 5 units, offering to pay back between $850,000 and $900,000 per unit. He said they were about to close on the refinancing when communication from Anchor Loans went dark. A couple of weeks later, he said, the lender informed him that it was going with the 2022 appraisal of the units, $1.2 million, and believed it could get more for the units than Thayer was offering. Anchor Loans stopped the refinancing process and moved forward with foreclosure. Anchor Loans did not respond to a request for comment. Regarding the remaining 5 homes, 2 are for sale with major price cuts, and the others are rentals. North Raleigh dominates office leasing. North Raleigh submarkets led Triangle office leasing in 2025, driven by the flight to quality and walkable mixed-use environments. Avison Young's fourth quarter report shows that the Glenwood, Creedmoor, and Six Forks Road submarkets experienced higher leasing percentages than other Triangle areas. Kathy Jigak, principal and managing director at Avison Young, attributed this to high-quality offices near amenities. Glenwood Creedmoor saw 8.5% of its inventory leased through 62 deals totaling 304,000 square feet. Only 8 leases exceeded 10,000 square feet, including Western Governors University's 48,000 square foot lease at Glen Lake 3 and Kiewit's 32,000 square foot deal. The remaining 54 leases were under 10,000 square feet, mostly between 2,000 and 3,000 square feet. The one thing is, nothing is being built right now. The sublease market is shrinking, Jigak said. Six Forks Road leased 8% of its 4.8 million square feet of inventory through 83 deals, totaling 387,000 square feet. The NC Education Lottery signed for 122,331 square feet at Colonnade Center 2, while QHP Capital took 31,000 square feet at 1 North Hills. 71 leases fell below 10,000 square feet. Brio Community breaks ground in Knightdale. Site work has started on Brio, a 1,000-unit community in Knightdale, being developed by Suncrest Real Estate. The first phase includes 588 homes by Pulte Homes and DRB Homes, with completion expected in 2 to 3 years. Pulte Homes is building 267 townhouses and single-family homes on 91 acres, with townhomes starting in the high $400,000s of dollars and single-family homes in the high $300,000s of dollars. DRB Homes will construct 288 homes on 94 acres. Amenities include a pool, dog parks, fitness center, and event lawn. The 380-acre development will ultimately include 500 age-restricted homes, 100 age-restricted multifamily units, and 4 acres of commercial space. Construction on the age-restricted portion should start in spring 2026. Mark McCauley, Director of Land Development for Suncrest, said in an email, about 30% of the community is preserved open space, providing trails and natural areas for residents. And finally, in Chapel Hill, apartment developer seeks equity partner. After 2 years of trying to make the math work for a redevelopment of a Chapel Hill property, the developer is now sourcing equity to move forward. Brokerage firm JLL is marketing Tar Heel Lodging off Highway 501. The project needs a joint venture equity partner to fund construction of a 283-unit apartment building, 10,000 square feet of office space, and a parking deck on the 4.5-acre site. The site is approved and permitted. Stormwater upgrades have been performed, and $200,000 was paid to keep the plan in active approval status, according to the JLL listing. The first phase was the development of The True by Hilton Chapel Hill Hotel, which opened in 2022. And our last reporter page is Kate Tracy's page covering retail and restaurants. Vic's to open North Raleigh location. Owner sees opportunity to expand, grabs lease at Colony Shopping Center. After 35 years in business, the owner of Vic's Italian Restaurant and Pizzeria is expanding to North Raleigh with a fast casual spot with a drive-thru. Vic's Pasta and Pizza Cafe will open at 5434 Six Forks Road in the Colony Shopping Center at the corner of Six Forks Road and Millbrook Road. The building is the former home of a KFC and Taco Bell in the Food Lion-anchored retail center. Mario Longo Sr., owner of Vic's in downtown Raleigh's City Market, as well as a location on Lake Boone Trail, is aiming to open on Six Forks Road in the next 2 months. He always wanted to expand to North Raleigh, but the timing and location didn't fit until now. The timing just worked out with KFC and Taco Bell moving out, and we thought that the visibility and how North Hills is growing so much and the surrounding areas was going to help us out, and we jumped on it, Longo said. The restaurant is hoping to benefit from the convenience of a drive-thru. Customers will receive a text when their order is ready, then pick it up in the drive-thru. The drive-thru will also facilitate DoorDash, Grubhub, and other delivery drivers. Longo plans to hire an architect and general contractor to transform the interior of the restaurant with a fresh, modern look. The restaurant will also serve wine and beer. We're going to bring a little bit of the old world and some modern dishes to Six Forks. We're going to test some items out that we like, but we're still going to have the old world classics that people have loved for 3 decades now, Longo said. Meanwhile, Longo's son, Michael, is opening a second Vic's Pizzeria and Bar in Wendell Falls. The family is also eyeing another spot in Northeast Raleigh. Retail buildings sell for $7.6 million in Fuquay. A local real estate developer has purchased 2 retail buildings in Fuquay Varina for $7.6 million. Yogesh Manoka with Carolina Properties Developers is the new owner of 618 and 612 Lakestone Commons Avenue at the corner of Highways 401 and 55. The buildings span 26,000 square feet with strong visibility and a high traffic corridor, Manoka said. Anchor neighbors include Big Lots and Kohl's. We know that Fuquay Varina is going to have population growth, he said. So much residential development is going on and decent household incomes to support long-term retail demand and hospitality, so we see a lot of opportunities to enhance our shopping center in the future. Tenants include a dentist, physical therapist, a sai shop, Sobel, a famous toastery restaurant, and more. Minoka said it's too early to tell whether he'll build more retail space. We have other people already interested to lease the space from us, even though nothing is available, he said. Minoka has long been eyeing Fuquay Varina and originally searched for land to purchase and develop into retail. Since he could not find the right site, he decided to invest in retail buildings instead. 600 Lakestone Commons LLC was the seller. Earl Hamilton is the manager, according to NC Secretary of State filings. Raleigh Distillery makes a comeback. A Raleigh distillery has found a new home. Raleigh Rum Company has taken over the lease of Distillery 78 degrees Celsius Spirits at 2660 Discovery Drive near Millbrook High School, said 78 founder Don McIntyre. Raleigh Rum Company has also filed permits for the space. The owners started moving equipment into the facility within the last 2 weeks, McIntyre said. The situation worked out as McIntyre said he is retiring. In September 2024, Raleigh Rum Company posted on social media that it was leaving its East Raleigh location after 10 years. Its former space was 1100 Corporation Parkway off New Bern Avenue, just outside the Beltline, where the company offered distillery tastings and tours. The distillery got its start in 2014 when the founders looked around at the liquor shelf and couldn't find nearly as many options for the liquor end. So we decided to help fix that, and Raleigh Rum Company was born, its website says. And finally, Saks closing its store at Triangle Town Center. Saks Global will close Saks Fifth Avenue at the Triangle Town Center in Raleigh this spring, another blow to the mall. The department store, located at the shopping center in Northeast Raleigh, had survived Saks Global's first round of store closures amid Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but the Raleigh store is now one of 12 additional stores set to close. Saks off 5th, locations at Tanger Outlets in Mebane off Interstate 85 and Charlotte Premium Outlets were among closures announced in early February. Other specific closing dates were not released as of March 6. Saks filed for bankruptcy in January. The company was weighed down by debt relating to its $2.7 billion acquisition of Neiman in December 2024. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice Q&A column, this one focusing on Chris Card. In a closer look, title, CEO, IE Homes, Clubs, and Resorts, age 55, hometown, Charleston, South Carolina, education, BS, marketing, UNC Wilmington, family, married, twin daughters, 22, favorite golfer, Justin Rose. Chris Card didn't come to Pine Wild Country Club of Pinehurst looking to maintain the status quo. Since his firm, IE Homes, Clubs, and Resorts, acquired the club in late 2023 for roughly $20 million, Card has been leading an ambitious effort to modernize the club's amenities, expand housing, and position the long-standing golf community for the next generation of members. Earlier this year, the club kicked off an $18 million project to expand its clubhouse and other amenities. Card, who has spent more than three decades working in the golf, resort, and hospitality industry, now helps oversee a portfolio of clubs, resorts, and real estate development. Before Pine Wild, he helped turn around operations at the club at New Seabury on Cape Cod. It's an experience that shaped the strategy he is now applying in Moore County. Invest heavily in amenities, listen closely to members, and build a community that blends lifestyle, recreation, and real estate. What is one of your earliest memories of golf? Coming from a family growing up in Connecticut to the Northeast, my dad was one of four brothers. The youngest brother was in the golf and club industry, and I can remember when I was 9 years old playing with my dad saying I wanted to grow up to be like my uncle. He was a GM of some big clubs, specifically down in the Caribbean, and I said, you know, I think that's what I want to do. I was a pretty good player and did quite well in high school. I tried to play a little bit in college, and soon after, I tried the professional ranks, which I then realized was a whole different level. I didn't have a lot of 62s and 63s in me. I can get you to the 66, 67, 68 every now and then, but you've got to be consistently 67 or 68 under. And unfortunately, my game wasn't going to be enough, so that kind of drove my decision for me to get on the club side of things after college. How did you amass your portfolio of golf clubs and resorts? I was hired by the group back in 2017 to get involved in the clubs and resorts and hotel side of things. They wanted me to really turn around the clubs that we owned, most notably being the club at New Seabury, which is up in Cape Cod in Massachusetts. So I spent probably 150 days a year on the road and really turned New Seabury around. This raised the eyebrows of our folks at corporate, who told me, "You guys got a pretty good thing here. Why don't we build a company around what you're doing here and go out and purchase other entities?" So Pine Wild is our first purchase in that space, where we're able to replicate what we did at New Seabury. It's not about reinventing the wheel. It's about implementing best practices. What improvements are you making at Pine Wild? I want to hear from the members, from the residents. This is their home. What do you want to see? I have my ideas, but in really listening to the membership, the biggest complaint or request was, "Can we please create a place for fellowship," meaning a main restaurant with a bar, a place where you can get together after a round of golf and sit at a bar. There's no bar in the clubhouse in Pine Wild. If you and I wanted to sit and have an iced tea and chat, there's no place to do that. The other thing is that there's no fitness center. Every member has to travel outside of the gates. For most club communities, they have fitness centers. So we're going to build a world-class fitness center. There's tennis and pickleball courts that haven't been maintained in 5 to 10 years. We're going to transform those. There's no director of tennis. There's no director of pickleball. We're creating all those things right now. What is your favorite course? 10 or 12 years ago, I was the general manager at Turnberry Golf Club in Scotland, and we hosted the Open Championship in 2009. That lifestyle and that golf course will always stick in my mind. And this was written by Ben Tobin. And with our remaining time with the Triangle Business Journal, we'll read as much as we can of the from the viewpoint page. The Business Journal welcomes letters to the editor. This one is written by John Hood, who is a John Locke Foundation board member in Raleigh. The headline, "Economic Progress Isn't Tied to Cities." The Triangle and Charlotte regions are among the fastest growing urban areas in the United States, but they are hardly the only North Carolina communities with expanding economies. Indeed, a new study from the State Department of Commerce shows that over the past decade and a half, 90 of our 100 counties have outperformed the national average. Produced by the department's Labor and Economic Analysis Division, LEAD, the County Economic Vitality Index blends four standard measures: headline unemployment rate, average private weekly wage, median household income, and share of residents 25 and older with at least a high school diploma. And we'll stop there as the article goes on to mention that we need to focus on more than just the cities for economic development. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Again, I'm Derek Frost, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.